Discussions with Ajahn Suchin at the Foundation in Bangkok. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. 28th of August 2004, morning session. Participants include John, Sarah, Sukin, Ivan, Sangjan, Betty, and Rachidar.
Okay, a technical question to start with, if I may, about visible objects. Because someone said that there's some discussion about this in the commentary to the Visuddhimagga about the size of visible object or something, and mention a specific actual size of some part of an anu, which is a very small particle. So I'm just wondering if, is there any information in the commentary to the Visuddhimagga?
Is that not thinking?
Well, it is thinking, yeah, but Pariyatti is also thinking.
Pariyatti talks about reality, right?
Right.
The reality which can be seen.
Yes.
That's the meaning of the, what it says in Tripitaka or in Visuddhimagga or in commentary.
Right. So I think what you're saying is no need to go any further than that. It's what is seen.
It's just like now. Just like now.
What is seen now, though, is, as we know, because of ignorance, we don't know what is seen as what is seen.
So we start from that which can be seen right now, developing the understanding of it as just a reality, nothing in it. Otherwise, we will follow the words. We are floating again in the sea of words and concept, while reality is now appearing.
But doesn't it help in seeing the visible object as it really is?
It helps thinking about words and concept, but not helping the understanding of reality which appears now. No matter what is said in the commentary, what appears now, according to the commentary, now it is seen. No matter we think about shape and different color, whatever it is that which can be seen. In order to become detached from clinging or paying attention as before. Otherwise, we'll follow the words and always think about the concept all the time and ignoring the reality, which there should be more understanding about it. And the only one way to become detached is by knowing that it's only a reality in order to begin to see that there is no one in it. There is only thinking about visible object all the time in the day.
Okay, this is a note from Nina. She says, I have a question for Bangkok on visible object. I read in the Tika of Visuddhimagga that it is said that visible object could not be as tiny as the 36th part of an anu, which is very minute. This is refuted.
Excuse me, who knows that? See, we just talk about the reality that we haven't such wisdom enough to know that. Instead of trying to understand the true nature of reality of visible object. No matter how much is said, how many percent, 100,000% or something like that, who can know that? Well, anyone can understand visible object as just a reality, which is now appearing, and what's the use of following that concept and developing the understanding of visible object, which there must be all day.
Well, the last part, I know that such thinking is not seeing and not awareness of what is visible. I also know that we cannot count visible object rupas and that we have to attend just the characteristic that appears. But what about the Pariyatti?
Pariyatti just tell us to understand reality as it is. So when one begins to understand the meaning of it, one stops the idea of about how many percent or no matter who says that.
And he asks, does what is visible consist of many groups, kalapas containing colour? Is there impingement of many such groups on the eye sense one after the other? But I think
the same question. Because you see that while one is reading Tipitaka or commentaries, one forgets that it shows the wisdom of Buddha himself. And people in those days, and what about today? Even Dhamma, we talk about Dhamma, and we say that everything is Dhamma. Is now everything is Dhamma? Not yet. So why not begin from our own understanding of reality as we used to know by concept? Like Dhamma, everything is Dhamma. Now seeing and thinking and feeling and other realities, does it appear one by one or just think about the story of it?
Even though we realize that these details cannot be known, but there has to be a little conceptual understanding in order for the translation to be accurate.
And what for? In this life? To know that and forget? Or understand the purpose of talking about this in order to develop the understanding of anotherness?
But then sometimes questions do arise and people want to know. Though I think a lot of times people look like almost like a scientific explanation, which is not useful. She probably wants to know as accurately as possible.
Can she know? And can anyone know? So we are talking about the reality that no one knows. And no one can know. Or shall we talk about reality that one can know, or one can develop the understanding?
I think it's a good opportunity to point to the purpose of studying Abhidhamma, is just to know.
So are you saying then there's no point in translating about these detailed points, or are you saying there's
for
no
whom?
Point in...
The real purpose is for whom? for the one who is now developing understanding of reality, or what? Or when that time will come to understand that? Not just for reading, but to developing understanding. So the one who is wise, the one who knows the meaning of what is there in Tipitaka and commentary.
Just curious, would this be one of the leaves in the forest that the Buddha did not reveal?
I think that when I read Tipitaka and commentary, I know that it's beyond anyone expectation or calculation. Like talking about animal in the Himalayan forest with that shape and form and horn and so forth.
What is the connection?
Who sees that? And what is now is seen right now? No understanding of this.
Of what is arising, yeah. And we are inquisitive about what is now perceived.
Yeah. And when we see the beast in the forest, when?
So in other words, it's better to come back to what is real at this moment.
So many things that one should develop understanding right now instead of thinking about those things.
Well, on the other hand, some would say anything that's information about visible object would be useful to understand the reality.
Okay, now there is visible object appearing. So, what can help?
What would you say is the most helpful thing then for understanding visible object that's appearing?
Because I know that no one can answer that question exactly by his own wisdom.
And what you're saying is that it's not by one's own wisdom, it's not useful, because it's just speculation.
Yeah.
About
and are you helping them not to know or to have their own wisdom?
Question about object condition, because we know that Aramanapachya can be concept, but when one talks about concept as conditioning factor, for example, concept.
What do you mean?
For example, object Aramanapachya can be either reality or concept.
Okay.
And, you know, because thinking can think about concept. And when we talk about concept as conditioning factor, so
as aramana only.
As aramana only. So it just means thinking thinks about the concept. But in what way is that concept the conditioning factor?
As aramana only.
That's all one can say.
And what does it condition? It conditions
citta and jetasika at that very moment.
Just by virtue of being
by sanya.
By sanya.
So we can say it can condition more thinking, it can condition strong feelings, it can condition anything?
According to the accumulation of citta and jetasika. Because it's the citta and jetasika which thinks.
We say that seeing consciousness experiences visible object and hearing consciousness experiences sound. It seems to me that you can't say in the same way that thinking experiences concepts.
So what thinking think about?
Yeah. Well, it thinks concept, yeah. But concept is object, but
of thinking at that moment.
Take concept as object in the sense that visible, seeing conscious takes visible
it
object.
It experiences or it thinks.
Right. But in the case of visible object, that arises, you know, before seeing consciousness experiences it. And there is contact between the seeing conscious, the visible object and the seeing consciousness. Isn't it different when thinking of concept? But isn't the concept, you know, like constructed by the thinking?
Is there no accumulation of concept at all?
Accumulation of concept.
So the sanya condition.
Yes.
Thinking to arise.
Yes.
Thinking about it.
Right. It would be.
Accumulation of concept?
Yeah.
How is that?
You remember who's who. Sanya remembers everything. More than realities.
Can we talk about everything accumulating? So, usually we talk about citta and citta-sika accumulating, and here concepts accumulate. Can we talk about rupas accumulating?
Or idea about Buddha?
Or idea about Buddha. Or, for example, when the rupas react to temperature, can one use accumulating in that sense also?
Couldn't you remember any reality at all? Even visible object.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So we could talk about even the visible object. Or is this just the memory of
all aramana?
All aramana,
which have been experienced.
Right. So it can be citta, citta-sika,
condition,
rupa, or concepts.
Right.
Accumulating. Uh-huh. This goes into another question very conveniently. Before you, when I asked you about the Pali for accumulations, you said paktu upanisya, because everything. Paktu upanisya is a very broad condition and it includes everything, even includes karma, includes rupas, includes cittas, cittasikas, anything can be paktu upanisya for...
And what is paktu upanisya? We should talk about it first.
Okay, decisive support, natural decisive support condition.
Can we say that all experiences has that condition? At moment of seeing, it's the moment of experiencing visible object, and it brings about lots of idea,
right.
Concept. All these are paktu upanisya because they have happened.
Right.
So whatever
and
happens,
karma to bring it result, it needs paktu upanisya to support it to. At that moment.
Because there are lots of karma, so which one?
Right.
Yeah. To be the right one at that moment.
Right. So we cannot say that accumulation only refers to what is mental, only to chitta-sika.
All experiences.
All experiences, mm-hmm. And by all experiences you mean any concept.
Citta, jetasika. Because there is also the aramanu upanisya pachaya.
Right.
There are three upanisya, anantara upanisya, aramanu upanisya, pakatu upanisya.
Right.
Three kinds.
Can you say something about the Aramanupin?
Yeah.
Aramanupis?
Okay, okay. This is warm water.
Yes.
Aramanapajya.
Yes.
And it's very agreeable to you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's there, accumulated for such thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. You long for it.
Yes.
When time comes to drink,
yes.
Then you think about it.
Yes.
That is Aramanupanisya Pachya.
Right.
It's kept in the citta. That's why people have different like or dislike about different colors, taste, sound, everything, which are aramana from moment to moment.
But this would also be Bhagavatupanisya too.
By way of Aramanupanisya. There are three kinds of Upanisya. Pagatupa is that which is not Aramanu and Anantarupa.
So can one say whenever it is not, for example, if it's not the desirable object, if it's something unpleasant, for example, then...
Unpleasant cannot be
so
the Aramanupanisya, so because Aramanupanisya must be Aramanathipati. Yeah.
So can one say, for example, if it's the unpleasant one, then there must be natural decisive support condition operating at that moment?
But not Aramanupanisya,
no.
Because you dislike what is there,
right.
Accumulated to be Pagatupanisya for not liking it again.
But can one say that anything that is accumulated or conditioned that is not one of the other two must be by Pagatupanisya?
Mm-hmm. I think that is quite theory, but it can be understood about how the citta and cetasika operate in a day, like or dislike.
I think it's very important because it helps to understand more about anatta.
This is the point.
When one just sees how very finely conditioned each citta or cetasika, or even each thinking about each concept. Why do I have such a silly idea? One can
mm-hmm.
see
correct.
Immediately it's by it's anatta by facto.
Yes.
So I think it's important. It's very
to
important.
Understand the anattaness and reality which appears, why this and why that happened, to like or dislike.
And to understand anattaness is what for?
To have no attachment. Or taking the things for self again.
What is opposite to Aramanupanisya?
Why opposite?
What is opposite to
why?
Why? Because there is something that we don't like and it was accumulated.
So that is not Aramanathipati. That is not Aramanathipati.
Yeah, is there any special term to call that?
You need one? To call, just to call, or you know that is not Aramanathipati.
It's just not.
There isn't an equivalent just for unpleasant objects.
When we talk about a person's accumulations, though, I mean, well, we talked about latent tendencies, anusya, and then there's another term also for the anusya are the unwholesome accumulated qualities, and there's another term, I think, for the wholesome ones.
Asaya. Asaya includes both.
Includes both, okay.
Yeah.
So I think there's sometimes a bit of confusion about asaya and this Pagadopanisya. They seem to be quite different things, though, because asaya means, as I understand it, the particular set of accumulations that an individual has. They are not manifesting at the present moment, or they are manifesting to some extent, but they're not part of the conditions. Is that correct?
Can we say that asya is Pagatupanisya? By way of pajya, it is Pagatupanisya. Because there's no asya pajya.
No.
But there is upanisya.
Also, when we use the term asya, it refers not only to the to that part that is manifesting in the present moment, but also includes everything that's latent there as well.
All accumulation cannot arise at once,
mm-hmm.
just one at a time.
What about, for example, if we're talking about rupas arising and falling in the body that are not experienced, can one refer to them as being accumulated in any way?
Rupa can accumulate it?
Well, that's what I'm just saying. So we're talking only about the experience of
where can we accumulate rupa?
Exactly.